Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard, and we got a really exciting guest on the show today. I'm so excited to chat with him. He's had two massive country number ones here in the UK, and last month, he had 20,000 people in the palm of his hand when he played the spotlight stage at Country to Country. Hey, Drew Baldridge.
Hey, brother.
So you've never been on public transportation before, and there you were on the tube in London. How was it?
Yeah.
Were you holding your bag close to you?
I didn't even bring a bag.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, I was... You know, luckily I had my manager with me because I don't know about public transportation. You know, just like, yeah growing up in the middle of nowhere. I mean,
Nashville, they don't have public transportation.
Well, then you get here and you're like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. You ain't got to worry about driving. You just got to worry about where you get off at, I guess. Like what street?
There are other worries.
Yeah, other worries. But it was just like, yeah, it was great. I loved it. This is my first time ever in Europe, in the UK, and never been here before. And so, man, I'm just taking it all in.
You've been lapping it all up, though. You were in Sweden, you were in Rotterdam, you were in Berlin, you did Glasgow.
Yeah.
You're going to Belfast.
Yeah, man, I feel like a world traveler right now.
Yeah.
But it's been
very... Got all those stickers on your suitcase.
Yeah, it's been very eye-opening for me as an artist of just like, you know, when you're 16, 17 years old and you start writing songs, literally just... for the girl down the street, mm-hmm. you know, of just like, oh, she broke my heart, or I'm going to show her how much I love her, you know.
What was the name of the first song you ever wrote?
It was called Why.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it have a question mark, or was it just Why?
It was Why. Okay. It was like, why don't you love me, you know.
And was it literally for the girl down the street?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it was just like.
Did you sing it to her?
I did not.
Oh,
no, no,
come on.
I did not.
You missed the trick there.
But then you're just like, man, I'm on the other side of the world now. Mm-hmm. And we got to play the O2, and you guys playing my song here, my songs here, and being able to go out there with two number one songs here and sing them, and people know them. Mm-hmm. And I am just like, I remember getting off that stage and just like being floored and being like, coming up to my manager and just saying, dude, we got to get over here ASAP again. This was so special, and we just really want to come back and invest in
Yeah, you got to keep coming back. And the thing that artists always say, and I see it as, you know, just a fan going to shows, is that how much you see the leap every time you come over, you know, bigger venues, more people, more people singing along, like it's more dates, you know, so keep coming.
Well, it's just amazing how you guys set us artists up for winning here. You know, like back in the States, I have to start in dive bars with 10 people, you know. And
although
really,
that gives you chops.
And gives us chops, and we work our way up. You know, I start on Broadway, you're playing for 5 or 10 people, and then we come over here, and it's like...
Here's the O2.
Here's the O2. You're 20,000 freaking people, you know. Yeah. You're like, holy smokes. And so being able to do that is just amazing. And every time we play, more people come, you know, and just like...
And the drunker they get, the later the night goes on. I reckon the difference is, because you can play to a really drunk crowd in America, it's probably a little bit different than a really drunk crowd in the UK.
Yeah, you know, America gets country music all the time.
Yeah, of course.
And so every weekend, I mean, even if I'm from a town of 500 people, so I graduated high school with 22 kids.
And you're from Illinois, right?
Yep, Southern Illinois.
It's tough to spell Illinois if you don't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the S
Lots
is silent.
Lots of silent things, yeah.
Even there, in my hometown of 500 people, you can go 15 minutes and hear a cover band playing country music all the time.
Sure.
And so, you know, we're just spoiled over there with country music. Mm-hmm. So I think coming here, it's just everybody listens differently. Mm-hmm. You know, back there, if you don't have, you know, a hit or two or whatever, everybody's just talking, mm-hmm. you know, and you're up there. Especially, I came over here with just me and a guitar. Like, I don't have a band with me. It's just me and an acoustic. And I was nervous about that a little bit because I was like, how am I going to keep people's attention with just me and a guitar? Because sometimes when you get 1,000 people in a room or even 500 people in a room.
Your entire town.
Yeah, exactly. They start talking or they're like, hey, give me this. Hey, order that. Get this drink. You know, the
play free bird.
Exactly. And this was, hey, they're listening. I'm telling a story about why I wrote this song, and they're locked in.
But that's country music all over, isn't it? Storytelling.
That's what we're here to do. Yeah. You know, and I think, especially with our music and the music that we're creating lately, is very heartfelt. It's very emotional. It's very, this came from a specific moment in my life. This is why I wrote this. And so I love being able to explain where these songs came from and the stories behind them, like She's Somebody's Daughter and Tough People. And those all have big moments in my life of why I wrote them.
But also really big moments in other people's lives when they hear them as well. Like, even if you're writing them from a perspective of a guy from a town of 500, and there's somebody who, you know, grew up in New York City or grew up in London, millions and millions of people, there's still stuff that people can relate to.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've noticed too, is most of the time if you're going through it, somebody else is.
Yeah.
And when we did our meet and greet, people were coming up in tears and or happy and, hey, I listened to She's Somebody's Daughter because I lost my dad in September. You know, this is how I cope. Or, hey, I've been fighting cancer or my mom's been fighting cancer and I listen to Tough People to know I can get through it. And everybody that came up had a story to tell.
Yeah.
And that was really special to me to know, hey, the music that we're making is reaching people all the way over here.
That also feels like a responsibility in some sort of way.
It does. A very big responsibility now that, you know, our first number one being She's Somebody's Daughter, our second being Tough People. You know, I'm just not the guy that can just put out a dirt road song next. You know, like they're expecting.
You're not going to give us a truck song.
there'll be trucks in songs. But,
thank you.
But I just think too, like the big messages I feel like are what people are expecting and want to hear. Hey, this is the guy that's given us these things. Let's keep that going.
Well, congratulations on both She's Somebody's Daughter and Tough People. Both of them got to number one here in the UK. And is it true? I mean, I might be lying on air when I say this, but you weren't going to put out Tough People until you played it for Lainey Wilson. Is that true?
So this is a crazy story. So I recorded Tough People in December, not this one, but the one before. So what have I been? 23. December 2023, I recorded Tough People.
Okay.
And it was December 15th. We recorded it right before the break where I was going to go home and see family for Christmas. So I literally record it, don't get to put my vocal on it. I go home for Christmas. And like December 28th, I get a text message from my co-writer that says, hey, Luke Combs wants it. Over in the States, we had a song out called She's Somebody's Daughter that was trying to climb the chart. That's a whole other story I'll tell you about, but it wasn't even top 50 yet. And right. I've been fighting it for 4 months trying to get it up the chart. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, well, if Luke recorded it, that would be, could be a life-changing moment for me.
Yeah, I will buy myself a solid gold house.
Yeah, and I was like, but also how many people would hear this message of Tough People?
Right.
So then January comes. It's like 2 weeks into January, and me and Lainey, we go way back, and we haven't had a chance to catch up. She comes over to the house to have dinner. And
what are you cooking for Lainey Wilson when she comes for dinner?
I don't even know.
Oh, come on.
Spaghetti or something, probably.
Spaghetti. All right. Lainey Wilson loves spaghetti. Got it. she loves deviled eggs. I know that much.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. Well, anyways, we're just talking, and I have a little boy that's not even one yet, and she brings Duck over. We're all just having dinner, catching up, and we won't even talk of music because we go back 12, 13 years and we're just talking about life. And she just out of the blue says, play me something you're excited about. Like, I want to hear what you got going on. And so I play Tough People and she just hits stop after the first verse. And she looks at me and she's like, Drew, this is like song of the year good. What are you doing with this? And I was like, well, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of in limbo right now. Like, I've recorded it, but Luke says he wants to record it. And she's like, well, I'll just text him right now, see what his deal is, see what he's doing with it, you know? And so she texts him, and then like 10 minutes later, she gets a text back, and it's like, from Luke, he's like, yeah, that song is a smash, we should do it together. And I was
Luke and Lainey.
Luke and Lainey, yeah.
Okay.
And Lainey goes, what do you think? What do you think, Drew? And I was like, I mean, you would change our lives. Like, me and my wife and my little boys, like if you two sang this song together, how crazy would that be? And she's like, well, send it to me. So I send it to her. They go home, you know, and weeks go by, months go by. Luke records it. I go into the studio. I sit with Luke and my co-writers. And Luke's a co-writer on it because he changed some lines in the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept I kept a couple of those lines when I recorded my version of it. But he changed some lines in the second verse, and he sang it, and we all had this big moment. And it's like, oh, my goodness, this is awesome. He just recorded it. That's probably February, March, you know, and I'm thinking, well, when's Lainey going to put it on? And by this time, my song, She's Somebody's Daughter, is climbing the chart, climbing the chart.
Yeah, because that was a super slow burn, that one.
Yeah, super slow burn. It kept going, and I'm sitting back here, and I'm like, where's Tough People? Where's their version of it? Because I'm thinking in my head, this is the next song for Luke. Well, then all of a sudden, Luke puts out the Twister song.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't No Love in Oklahoma, because the Twister movie was coming out. And then I was like, oh, I thought that was going to be Luke and Lainey. You know, so then I'm calling Lainey. It's like, have you put your vocal on it yet? She's like, not yet, because Luke hasn't put his vocal on. It became this thing. Well, then comes June. Daughter is almost top 15. And Luke puts out a Father's Day album. I hear a Father's Day album's coming out, which is an incredible album. But I was like, Tough People is not a Father's Day song, you know? So finally, I'm top 10, and everybody in America, all the radio stations are texting me like, bro, what's next? What's next? And I'm here like, my best song is in limbo. Like, I don't know what's going on with it. So I just call Luke, which was a really hard call, because also I also have co-writers that are thinking they're getting a Luke Combs and Lainey Wilson recording. And
so you called him with the idea of like, hey, I'm gonna release this song, Luke.
I called Luke.
And were you nervous?
No, I mean, I've known Luke for 10 years,
All right, so you're fine.
I'm fine. I'm more nervous about this taking a chance of myself, of really saying, okay, well, I know I'm gonna single it. I don't know what their plans are. They're both very busy artists. They're both working on projects. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their plan is. So I called him to kind of figure out what's the deal, you know? And I didn't get him, but I left him a voicemail and I was like, look, this is my second single is maybe be the most important single of my life. Like, it's so hard. Like, I don't want to be She's Somebody's Daughter guy forever. I got to have another song. This is my best one. And if you and Lainey, or just you, if you're going to do this yourself and you're going to single it, if you love it, I'm not going to push. Like, I'm not going to fight you for it. Like, I think that's exciting. And he sent me a voice memo back and was just like, bro, sorry, I was in the shower. I missed you. He's like, dude, I love the song. He's like, but we're not recording until 2025 to put a record out probably or so. He's like, we're not figuring that all out yet. He said, but this is your song. You wrote it. You should have it, you know. And he was like, I'll root you on all the way to number one with it. And I remember just being like, getting that and being like, well, just made the stupidest decision of my life.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, did you, like, you got what you wanted, and then are you like, oh, God, now I got to do this.
Now I got to do it. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit, but also, like, I was excited because I felt like my, you know, inner artist was like, I can do this.
And did you know, were you like, I know this is going to be a hit?
I did. I felt like, if it wasn't, I didn't know what I was doing as a songwriter and an artist, because I felt like this is a song that needs to be heard.
Yeah.
And the message of this song was so powerful, and there was so much going on in America at that time with hurricanes and, you know, the fire hit California. Yeah. And
well, yeah, everybody kind of needed that song at that moment.
Yeah, and it needed to get out. And I was playing it at some writers' rounds, just me, and every time we played it, it would get a standing ovation. And I knew I could see people reacting and coming up and being like, when can we get that? Where can we get that? And I'd be like, I don't know. So I knew I could see it reacting in real time of like people wanting this and needing this. It was a big risk. And then I had to call my co-writers, my buddies, and be like, hey.
And were they like, what have you done, Drew Baldridge?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, at that time, Daughter was a historic number one in the States.
Yeah.
And it was, for them, they were my friends, and they were like, look, if we were in your shoes, we'd be wanting the same thing.
But yeah, it's hard to let the good ones go, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And also for them, though, they're like, you know, have families, and they're like, these are also like, this is our life, too. And I was like, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this song is a hit for you.
Well, I think you made the right decision. And it turns out it is a hit.
Well.
And not only She's Somebody's Daughter, number one in the UK, Tough People, also number one on the UK country radio airplay chart. And so we got a little something to celebrate that for you.
No way.
This is the official presentation of the trophy to celebrate
Holy
Tough
smokes.
People going to number one. I'm going to come around and give it to you.
Oh, man. Man, thank you so much.
We got to document the moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy smokes. Thank
the
you,
first
guys.
Of many. Well, actually, I mean, the second of many.
The
you
second
already had
of
two
many.
Here. And,
wow.
And you're, I mean, there you go.
Check that out. That's so cool.
We got a little carrying case for you as well.
Oh, that,
that'd
man.
Be tough to
I did
pack.
Not
You'd have to put a lot
that.
Of socks around that in your suitcase.
Thank you, guys.
So
wow.
do you, I mean, you must have been given some other things to put on a trophy shelf by now, right?
Well, she, somebody's daughter, went gold in the States.
Yes.
And we got that one. But this one's the most excited because, like, I knew about all my other ones because I was the label.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I had to run my own label to get She's Somebody's Daughter.
Oh, yeah, so
one.
You were, like, basically independent up until not that long ago.
Yeah, probably November, I think.
Okay.
She's Somebody's Daughter is kind of an anomaly. Backstory, you know, I had a record deal. I had everything when I first moved to Nashville. But 10 years into Nashville, I had 4 failed singles at radio.
Mm.
I got dropped.
What does failed mean to you or in this context?
Yeah, like...
Because, you know, it depends. I always find, you know, there's a lot of times people say, oh, it failed, it didn't do this. And you look at it and you're like, actually, in lots of different metrics, that's not a failure, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had no song got top 40.
Okay.
I had 4 songs that we sent to radio that none of them got out of the 40s.
Okay.
And that came with my label that I was with decided to be like, hey, it was a small independent guy out of Texas, and he was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I thought, well, I'm going to get a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. That came with me losing my manager because they're like, hey, there's nothing to manage here.
Right.
That came with losing my booking agent. 2021, at that moment, I remember thinking, wow, I've been in Nashville for 10 years.
And it's a 10-year town.
And I don't have anything.
Mm.
You know, like I have nothing to show for it. I mean, other than some songs. And I was touring back before that. And I had a lot of moments that I've had, but it was all gone.
And are you seeing, like, your friend, because you're saying that you've known Lainey for a long time and that you know Luke, and presumably there are other artists that you've known for a really long time. While all this is happening to you, are you seeing, like, your friends,
oh, they're blowing,
like,
up,
soaring?
I'm seeing them soar,
right.
You know, and I'm happy for them. I love them to death, and I'm so happy for them.
Of course.
But there's a part of you, like, what the freaking heck?
Yeah,
you know, like,
was there
a
moment where you thought, well, okay, then I guess I'm going to do something else. Was there ever that moment?
There was a big moment where I was just like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to sing the songs. Maybe I'm supposed to write them.
Right, okay.
You know, or maybe I just go back home and, you know, my grandpa passed away right around 2019, and I went home and worked on the farm with my brother for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe I go up there and do some more of that. Maybe,
yeah,
I just work on the farm and write some songs because I didn't have any hits as a songwriter yet either.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've written a bunch of songs. So, yeah, there was a big moment of that, but I had this song, She's Somebody's Daughter, that was always my favorite song,
mm-hmm,
and me and my wife got married in 2021, and I just made a wedding version so she could dance to it with her dad.
Oh. Did you sing it live at your wedding?
No, I recorded it.
Okay, good.
Just me and a piano player and a cello, and my producer, we put it together really fast, like, just so she could, like, the week before, we got it done, so she could dance to it with her dad on our wedding night.
Because
it was always her favorite song. I wrote it for her and her,
right,
father. And so then the next week, we posted on social media.
Uh-huh.
And mind you, at this
that
time—
That version of it. Right.
Because it was already out, a different version, yeah, on an old label.
At what point in this timeline were you like, Tenille Townsend?
Oh, I can tell you. Yeah, so I love that you know.
Damn
you, you're on this, Valen. You're on this. So 2019, old record label, I'm putting— She's Somebody's Daughter was going to be my single. I loved,
right,
it.
Yeah.
It was an up-tempo version, though. It was real fast.
Ooh,
I didn't,
okay,
love the,
yeah,
up-tempo version of it, but they were like, that's what radio wants. I'm like, okay. So I sing it that day in the studio. I go out and sit in my car, and there's a thing in the States called Country Air Check,
yeah,
where it shows all what's going on in country radio.
Yeah.
I sing it. I go sit in my car that day. I pull up Country Air Check, and at the top of Country Air Check, it says, Tenille Townsend going to country radio with a song called Somebody's Daughter. And I was like, you gotta be. I throw my phone. I'm so mad. And I remember calling label. I was like, we can't do it. We can't send Somebody's Daughter. And they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I was like, look at Country Air Check. And Tenille Townsend has a song called Somebody's Daughter.
Yeah.
And I listened to her song and I'm like, this is great, but it's totally different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a totally
it
different idea. It's
it
a
is.
Totally different song. But I'm like, I'm happy for her. But also deep down, I'm like, well, this was supposed to be my moment. But looking back, what a God thing.
Yeah.
That we didn't send it because my label closed in 3 months.
Meant to happen.
It meant to happen.
I mean, at Absolute Radio Country, we feel the same about the vodka. We're like, damn you, Absolute Vodka. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you feel that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that was 2019, 2021. The song was already out for 2 years.
Do you know Tenille?
Like, I do.
Yeah.
We've had multiple conversations.
And did you know her at that point?
I did, yeah.
Was there ever a text with the angry face emoji?
No, there was, you know, we played radio shows together. And in the States, we have to do this where you go around the country and you play lots of shows for radio stations
while
all over.
Their lunch.
And you're, well, also just like shows for fans. And
they
have like
three or four
artists come play it and you're singing writers' rounds. And so we played a lot together because I was trying to get another song at that time. I was like, Tenille, dang it. Like, you know, because I was playing She's Somebody's Daughter in the same writer's round that she would play somebody's daughter.
So you both knew that you had a song already.
But we didn't know it until hers was, she didn't know that I had one until hers was out.
I got you.
And so we were just, we laughed about it and she was like, I'm so sorry. Like she didn't know.
You're like, that's fine. Mine's going to number one.
Not at that time, dude. I was like, man, go have your hit. Like, that's great. I don't know if mine will see the light of day.
Go have your hit.
Yeah.
Is that how you said it?
Yeah. Bruno Martini. Yeah. But no, then 2 years later, I just put this wedding version out for my wife so she could dance to it. And at this time, like I said, everything was gone. So I'm literally playing people's backyards.
Right.
That's the only way that I can tour. Is by a backyard tour. I'm going around the country playing people's backyards.
That's a lot of barbecue, I bet.
Lots of barbecue. Mm. Yeah, my manager's over here laughing because he ate a bunch of it too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gained 10 or 15 pounds.
I love
bro.
Barbecue, but there comes a point where you're like, all right.
No more pork.
I just have some tofu.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're doing this. I posted on social media on our honeymoon, and we wake up the next morning and it has almost 10 million views.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, wow, this is like, gonna work. Record labels are gonna be calling me.
Mm.
And nobody really did, you know?
Were you like, is this working? Working?
Yeah.
Because
I think I was the guy that's been in town for 10 years that had, everybody knew me.
Right.
Everybody saw that I had, it wasn't working. And they're like, oh, that's cute. Like, you got a song that's working. But I was the only one that was like paying attention and I saw it on TikTok. And then fast forward 2 years later, so 2021, this song is on TikTok 2 years, and it never goes away. And I'm talking billions of views on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm still reaching out to labels and like, hey, this is working. They're like, we need to see it do this. And I'm like, it's already done that a year ago. It's already doing those numbers you're wanting to see. And so finally got to the point where I was talking to a radio guy, and he was like, so what are you doing? I was like, I'm hooked on She's Somebody's Daughter still. It's still like doing the thing. I was like, I'm just waiting on a record label. He's like, why? Why are you waiting on a record label? Why don't you just try to do it? You know everybody. And I was like, you think I can do that? And he was like, I would be all about it. And I was like, okay. So then literally that next week, I go play a show that wasn't a backyard. That was like an actual concert, a fair. And I sing for
still barbecue though if it's a fair.
That's right. Still corn dogs and barbecue.
Yeah, still sings on sticks.
I get on stage and I sing this for the first time with a band, and 1,000 people are singing every word.
Mm.
And that was the first time that's ever happened in 12 years of being in Nashville.
And now here you are in London. You just had 20,000 people singing it to you at the O2.
I can't believe it. Just a year ago, I was playing people's backyards.
Yeah.
And now here we are. In the O2.
It just goes to show, you know, it's a good old lesson for, I think, for anybody who's trying to do anything. And I don't just mean in music, you know, like I think there's always times in your life where you've worked so hard at something or you visualize how something's going to happen. And there's what at the time just seems like the most massive setback where you start reevaluating everything about it. But it just goes to show you a little bit of trust, perseverance, and you don't know what the right time is, but you just got to trust it.
You don't. I think one thing that looking back, a lot of those setbacks were really setups.
Mm.
And I didn't know it at that time of like set up for what's next and, you know, going out and doing those radio tours and having four failed singles. Well, that set up the fact that I knew everybody at radio.
And now you got two hits.
Crazy. Crazy, man. And I think one of the biggest things out of all this was even here in London, I've had independent artists come up to me.
Yeah.
And say, man, your story makes me keep going. And that alone is now how many other songs we're going to hear for people that almost gave up. Yeah. Maybe they heard my story and like, I'm going to keep going because he had an independent number one. Maybe I can do the same thing.
What's next? What are you doing next?
I'm recording a whole new project. And so you guys get ready.
Okay, right. We're ready.
More music's going to be coming your way.
So a full-length album on the way?
That's what I want, you know. Okay. That probably won't be immediately. I'm hoping by the end of the year you'll have a full length, but probably this summer you'll have some sort of 5 to 6 songs.
Okay.
Is what I really want.
All right.
We're trying to figure all that out because our single, Tough People, has gone so fast.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing, thank the Lord, but it's also been like, we wasn't ready. So I was like, what's next? We got some new music. We actually been playing a new song this whole week that I'm really excited about, and hopefully that'll be... That might be the next one.
What's that one called?
It's called Rebel.
Okay.
And we've been playing that out for a lot for
just seeing how it goes.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me a lot of Tough People. Okay. You know, when we were playing Tough People out, we were getting those standing ovations and seeing people react and coming up and talking about it. That's what Rebel's kind of been doing.
Well, we look forward to it. Cody Johnson was on the bill last night as well. You've been out on tour with Cody. And he was kind of he was independent, wasn't he?
He was,
quite a long time before he
was for a long time out of Texas. And, you know, we have very similar stories where, you know, he came to Nashville and they were like, the cowboy thing ain't working, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and mine was like, hey, the nice guy, you know, songs ain't working no more. And very similar stories. So we spent the last 2 months on tour together in the States, and I've learned a lot from Cody. You know, that's my first time ever playing arenas and watching him command a crowd of 15,000 people a night.
Yeah.
And so
I guess he came up in Texas, right, where he's playing rodeos that are like tens of thousands of people. So you get to arenas and he's already ready for it.
He's ready for it. And he's, you know, he's doing that. Like, people are buying that many tickets to see him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
And so I was just very blessed that he had me come out and play shows and allow me kind of, you know, when an artist has another artist out on tour, you kind of give the endorsement sticker.
Sure,
you know, like,
a stamp
of
approval.
We think this guy's great too. Y'all should check him out.
Yeah.
And so just that alone has been big for us. And then this summer, starting in June, we're going out with Bailey Zimmerman.
And
we're going to play like 3 months with Bailey.
That's going to be a party.
Yeah. And
had Bailey in a couple. I really like Bailey. He's like pure golden retriever energy.
He is. So we grew up 20 minutes from each other.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And so when he moved to Nashville, I remember even before he moved to Nashville, somebody back home sent me a message and was like, dude, do you know there's somebody back home trying to do country music? And I watched one video. And he's only been singing for like 4 months at this time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I watched the video. I was like, oh, he's got a cool voice. I was thinking, I remember after watching that like an hour later being like, man, I wish I knew somebody when I moved to town.
Mm.
Like, I wish I had some guidance or somebody to tell me what to do, what not to do, who's nice, who's not, all those things.
Yeah.
So I just messaged him on Instagram and it was like, hey, if you really want to do this, here's my number. Like, let's call me sometime and I'll chat with you. And he calls me in 2 minutes, like golden retriever energy. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to Drew Baldridge. This is insane. This is awesome. I was like, well, hey man, you want to do this? Like, he's like, 100%. I was like, well, come to Nashville. So we start writing songs out of my living room probably in like 2021. Same thing with Nate Smith. I mean, kind of very similar. First time I met Nate, right around that time, we're writing songs in my living room.
We love Nate.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny. That same time is when I lose everything, you know.
Right.
And Bailey is getting every record label in Nashville calling him.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what in the heck, you know, but also so happy for him. This is a kid that's been singing for only 6 months.
Yeah.
I remember him calling me one time. He's like, Drew, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, well, I got this manager named Chief, who's a big manager in Nashville. And I got this label named Warner, and they both want to sign me. He's like, I can't have a manager and a label, can I? And I was like, that's exactly what you need, bro. That would be a great team to have. Like, you should totally take both of them.
Yeah, you were like, well, you can. Apparently I can.
But you can. So then it's a crazy full circle moment that here we are 4 years later, and we're going out on tour together. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Just before I let you go, you've played the Opry like 30 times or something now. That's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
It must still, every time you step into the circle and go there and fill up your glass of sweet iced tea backstage, get yourself some popcorn, it must still be as exciting as the first time.
Every time.
Yeah?
It never gets old. And, you know,
do you remember your very first time?
I do. So my very first time I played one of my favorite artists growing up was Josh Turner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I don't know if you...
The deepest voice in country
Oh,
music.
Yeah. And so I would always try to do that. Baby, look, don't turn the lights down.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I sang that my debut night. I wanted to sing one of my own songs, but I also sang Your Man. And because I was like, hey, this is one of the artists that got me here. I'm standing in this circle. I love Josh Turner so much. I start singing the song, and about halfway through it, my guitar player steps up and starts playing the solo. Well, the crowd goes crazy for my guitar player. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, and I turn around and look, it's because Josh Turner's standing behind me.
Did you not know he was there?
No clue. No clue. And here I am.
Where'd they keep Josh Turner away from you?
Yeah, I guess they had him locked in some room or something.
Yeah, they're like, you're in the mini Pearl dressing room. We're
yeah, you go way down there.
Yeah, you hold
and
on.
And so here I am on stage, like playing the Opry for the first time, already scared to death, crying nervous. Then here comes my childhood musical hero. I'm speechless. You know, I'm not singing anymore. I'm just like standing there, just like looking in shock. And he goes, take it, Drew. And I don't sing. I just stand there and I forget. I literally say on the mic, I don't know the words. And the whole crowd starts cheering. But it was just, man, yeah, that was a moment I'll never forget. It was my first time on the Opry.
Wow. And also, Josh Turner, he's a really nice guy, too.
He is.
Yeah,
everybody always says, don't meet your heroes. But he was one of the guys I'm really glad I met. He's been kind to me ever since.
He talks about his first time at the Opry, you know, when he did Long Black Train and then did it twice because of
the reaction.
Of the reaction that he got. I mean, speaking of, you know, TikTok and all that, like, also has been a huge boon for him and traditional country. I mean, you know, they just suddenly take off on TikTok and they come back again. He was telling us the other week, like, how many times, like, TikTok has brought his songs back again and again.
Well, I think that's what's so cool about that TikTok. I mean, when I first started playing music, there was no discoverable tool like that. You know, so now it's like a kid like Bailey in his hometown can post a video and reach millions of people and all of a sudden be the next thing. And then songs that are older, you know, there for a while, Neon Moon came back because everybody was doing the dance. And it was like...
Yeah, if you ever worry about like She's Somebody's Daughter or anything like, you know, dropping off on TikTok, just do yourself a dance.
Boom.
Boom, you're back.
We back, baby.
thanks so much for coming in to have a chat with us.
Hey, man, thank you guys. You guys
got stuff
awesome.
To do. Someone let you go.
Hey, I appreciate y'all playing my music, opening your studio up to me, and just making me feel like I'm home.
Man. Well, you are welcome here anytime. And you're going to come back to the UK real soon, right?
I want to. Yeah, we don't have any dates yet, but I remember getting off stage at the O2 and just walking right up to my booking agent. And the first thing out of my mouth was, when's the next dates? When are we coming back? So we're going to get on it.
Noted. lovely to see you. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, buddy.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.